Domine. Dona eis requiem.
Welcome, welcome everyone to CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio, and I'm your host, Austin. We got a cool show for you today. It's been a busy week. Today is December 2nd. Wow, December already. December 2nd, 2016. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Today is, or this week has been a really busy week, and I'm going to play a lot of music, and I'm going to touch on some issues, and I'm sure... if you guys have been following Canadian politics or Canadian, and I don't know if you've seen news in the last week, you will be aware, you'll probably have a guess of what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to touch briefly on the pipeline project that Justin Trudeau has just passed, and I'm also gonna show I'm gonna play a little clip that Elizabeth May, one of the leaders of the Green Party, her reaction basically to Justin Trudeau approving the project. But anyways, yeah, today is December 2nd, as I said, and I'll give you the weather for what's coming up. Today looks like it's going to be pretty rainy today. It's going to be 60% chance of showers. So yeah, it's kind of misting out there when I was out there, but with high of 9, Saturday looks like it's also going to be a mix of sun and clouds, with a little chance, 60% chance for rain. Sunday as well, rain probably. With lower chance of rain, but also colder. But the exciting news, that's why I wanted to talk about the weather, is it's predicting snow on Monday and Wednesday, and maybe even Thursday. 70% chance of snow on Wednesday. That's what it says right now. Who knows? The weather can always change. But... it's looking pretty good right now, and Tuesday's supposed to be sun, so with a high of 2. So hopefully that's hopefully it snows a bit on Monday and then sticks around for Wednesday to get some more, and Thursday looks like maybe some snow as well. But yeah, tonight actually looks like that's Wednesday night that says it's gonna get some snow. But yeah, anyways. Yeah, we've got some cool bands we're going to play today. Some of the highlights are Hope Sandoval and the Warm Intentions, Sales, Preoccupations, Genders, Tangerine, lots of cool bands today. Pretty wide variety. But yeah, anyways, I'm going to get going to playing some songs. I'm going to start off with a song by a band out of Seattle. They're called This Is Your Captain Speaking. They're a pretty cool band, pretty ambient sounds. And yeah, this is off their 2013 album ARC. The song is called Ascendance. I hope you enjoy. I think it's a pretty cool, groovy song. So, see you later.
On Friday, December 2nd, Spruce Trap will release their debut full-length album, The Wise Prefer to Perish, through Big Smoke and Eagle Time Records. To commemorate the release, Big Smoke is proud to present a special evening of music to celebrate community, our city's architecture, and the art scene that inspires Vancouver's cultural identity. The show will be held at the beautiful Christ Church Cathedral in downtown Vancouver and will be free to attend. Performances will come from Spruce Trap, Holy Hum, and Ian William Craig.
Welcome back, everyone, to CITR 101.9 Wise Men Radio. I'm Austin. All right. So we played some songs. That last song was by the band Preoccupations. Preoccupations, formerly known as Viet Cong, did some major rethinking of their image and self over the past, since their last album, self-titled Viet Cong. They got a lot of criticism, and they kind of reshaped their band around it. Yeah, very, very cool band. Check them out. Yeah, this song was Anxiety off their self-titled Preoccupations album. And we also played a song called Cassette Ears off of Test Cards' newest and only album, Startup and Close Down. Test Cards, an artist out of Vancouver. So local stuff here. Very cool album. I can get it. Look it up on Bandcamp. And, of course, the first song was This Is Your Captain Speaking, Ascendance, off the album ARC. Yeah, so today I wanted to talk a bit about Justin Trudeau's decision to approve the... Well, he approved a pipeline, the Trans Mountain Pipeline, which runs from Edmonton into Burnaby. And he... Also, but then he also rejected the Northern Gateway, which was, of course, the pipeline that was really, 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 like, very disputed. Well, I shouldn't generalize like that, but a lot of people on the BC coast didn't want that to happen. It ran through just north of Burnaby, or not Burnaby, just from north of Edmonton, and went into Kitimat, BC, where from there it will be shipped out via tankers through the Great Bear Rainforest and just off the coast of Haida Gwaii. And if you've ever been over in that area of the world, you know that it would be very difficult to do that just by looking at that, just by seeing that tankers are not, that's not the type of thing that should be regularly going in and out of these small canals where lots of whales and other ocean life exist. But yeah, Northern Gateway, it's not really what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about Trans Mountain Pipeline. And actually, Trudeau, which has not really been getting a whole lot of press out there, is Trudeau also approved of this, another pipeline that goes through Saskatchewan. And it's an Enbridge pipeline, and it goes just north of Regina and into Alberta. And it's really, yeah, I guess it might also be the location, why we haven't really been hearing much. But it's also a very similar... It's a very similar scenario to Standing Rock, this Saskatchewan pipeline. I'm gonna probably butcher the pronunciation of this band name, but the Achipauchi territory. It cuts right across there, and they're trying to cut some loopholes in there. But yeah, it's pretty disgusting what they're planning to do with this one. It's going to run through Regina, south of Saskatoon, and right where I was working this last summer on Lake Diefenbaker. I was working in Douglas Provincial Park, but it's going to be running through Danielson, which is, I was also doing a little bit of work there. It's really weird to see something like that happen to a place that it just was. Like, news happened there, and it's such an odd part of the world. So that's really kind of an interesting thing. But anyways, I wanted to play a clip from Elizabeth May. She's the lead member of the Green Party, and her reaction, this is a news clip, actually, I think it does a really good job of giving, it's very informative, and also, yeah, it's just a very informative clip, and Elizabeth May is just kind of a badass, so, I'm gonna play it right now, and I'll just kind of say some thoughts at the end of this. All right.
Green Party leader Elizabeth May is joining me now from our Ottawa studio. Elizabeth, good to see you. What do you make of these two projects getting the green light from the Liberal government?
Well, it's a betrayal, frankly. I mean, the Liberal candidates, including candidate Justin Trudeau as leader in the election just a year ago, promised British Columbians that the National Energy Board process, they understood to be a broken process, and that you couldn't approve a pipeline that was proposed that had gone through this broken process. I was an intervener in the National Energy Board, Marcia. I worked really hard in looking at what was put forward by Kinder Morgan. There wasn't evidence there that could establish that they know how to clean up this particular mixture. It's not oil. It's not crude. A lot of viewers won't know the term dilbit, but bitumen, which is a solid, gets mixed with a fossil fuel condensate just in order to make it flow, to get it through a pipeline, and then it gets put in tankers. Very risky, sevenfold increase in tankers going out through some very narrow straits out Vancouver Harbor and into the Salish Sea. This is something that's a huge risk, but there has been no process that fixes the brokenness that the Liberals told us in the election they would not approve a project from a broken process. We still don't have, I mean, despite the fact there were some flowery words from the Prime Minister yesterday, there isn't evidence to support this, there isn't science to support this, and even the economic case has not been made that this is in Canada's interests.
So the Prime Minister, for his part, and we just showed this statement from him a few minutes ago, he said that no promises were broken. He said, in fact, this is fulfilling a promise he made during the campaign. I want you to comment on that, and also the fact that the Prime Minister is saying that these pipelines will create jobs and get our resources to global markets.
Yeah, I don't know why we have become obsessed. There's sort of a pipeline mania, which is predicated on the idea that it's good for Canada's economy to ship out a raw product in as raw a state as possible, because that's what bitumen is. We'll never get a good price globally for something that's a solid that you have to upgrade to even make synthetic crude to then put in a refinery. It makes, to create jobs in Canada, we should be building refineries. This is what Peter Lougheed, the late and wonderful former Premier of Alberta, who started the oil sands project, believed you should have upgraders and refineries create jobs in Alberta. This was what we were hoping the Liberals would do so that it would not pit Alberta against BC, because British Columbia's economy includes fisheries and tourism. But by the way, it also includes a refinery in Burnaby. And you'd think, okay, a refinery in Burnaby, the pipeline ends up there, that's going to make... Actually, that doesn't help that refinery. The likelihood is that that refinery will close because it can't process the particular material they want to export. So that's why Unifor, the largest union for the oil sands workers, was also an intervener in the NEB process against the Kinder Morgan or Trans Mountain project. The largest union, Unifor, was saying, look, they tried to put evidence to the National Energy Board that the Kinder Morgan pipeline would hurt jobs in Canada, and the National Energy Board specifically ruled that the question of jobs and the economy was outside its mandate. So again, we have no evidence that this is good for the economy, and unions in Canada are saying, you ship out raw bitumen, you're shipping out jobs.
All right, quick answer on this last one, please. You're speaking out today. How far are you willing to go to fight these pipelines? What are you going to do?
Well, this matter is already before the courts. Thank you to the city of Vancouver and Burnaby and the Tsleil-Waututh and the Musqueam and the Squamish First Nation. I support them in their court cases. And if they do nonviolent civil disobedience to stand in front of bulldozers to blockade against pipelines, I will join them in solidarity, shoulder to shoulder. I've never been arrested, and I don't think the biggest issue in this story is that I'm prepared to go to jail. People seem interested in that aspect. But there is nothing I will not do to stop these pipelines in the realm of nonviolence and forthright opposition. This is much too important to imagine a compromise.
So we'll see you up.
All right. Yeah. So that was Elizabeth May, of course, talking to CTV. And yeah, she has a lot of interesting things to say. I think she brings up so many fair points to discuss. The fact that we're shipping out bitumen through, and I googled this all up. I looked a little bit more into bitumen. Everything she said is true about it. How they're adding it to the oil to make it so it's able to flow through pipeline. It's really interesting that. Yeah, we seem to think that there is going to be a demand for this raw substance out there that is actually pretty specific in order to refine more into an actual usable substance. And like, yeah, we don't actually have any of the facilities really that to what scale that we need in order to process this material. And it kind of just seems like it's jumping the gun for a lot of the parts. It's kind of agreeing to something before reading all the fine details. It seems very risky. About creating jobs in the, I can't believe that. They keep arguing that the national this pipeline will create more jobs. When it's shown, they've tried to present evidence to the National Energy Board that no, it's actually going to hurt Canada's jobs. But that's the main argument for creating this pipeline. It's gonna hurt BC's economy. Maybe it'll make more jobs in Alberta, but it's gonna really affect British Columbia as a whole rather than hurt or help. It was very interesting video. I recommend watching it on your own time. It's Elizabeth May. It's actually kind of interesting how hard it is to find information about these pipelines, actually. Just doing a simple Google search, you're only going to find kind of CBC news about Justin Trudeau's approved this, you know, or he's done this, but no like real facts, nothing about like what is it going to do. And I think it makes me wonder if maybe there's not a lot of research done for this, so they actually don't know much about the pipeline, and makes it even more of a sketchy option is to approve it, since we don't know much about it. And also, it makes me kind of skeptical. Like, where is this info? Yeah, like, if there actually is information, where is it, and why can't I access it? Like, where it's a lot of, I don't know. I think people need to be more well informed on issues such as this that will have such a large impact on themselves and the environment. And it's funny to think that there's people trying to hide the facts, but it's kind of what it seems. I think in order for society to kind of advance any further, people need to be educated on subjects such as this, so we can make these educated decisions for the better of the economy. I don't think anyone would argue against everyone. Everyone wants the best for the world, really, and or their country. We'll bring it down to the country scale, but everyone wants the best for the country. But everyone has a different idea on what that is. But I think if everyone becomes more educated about issues, I think that the kind of disparity between the people's opinions on won't be opinions after some point of it's all just kind of knowledge at some point. It is really funny to think, like, what goes into an opinion nowadays and what is like a fact. And I don't know, like, my personal beliefs, I don't want to like piss too many people off or not, but like I think it's crazy that that like evolution is still considered an opinion rather than a fact, when it's been shown time after time that it is real. It's a fact, rather than something that's just kind of a loose kind of idea out there. I don't know. That was just kind of a big digression. I do think it is interesting. That's why I think instances like this are really important. The media needs to be more involved in distributing facts rather than opinions, rather than kind of their political agenda. Well, yeah. It needs to be kind of just a fact source. I don't know. I think that would be a lot better. But that's media, man. It's kind of, with the election of Donald Trump, I think we're going to see a lot of reshaping of media. And I think that will be really interesting in the next couple of years, to say the least. But anyways, the pipeline, yeah. So, the pipeline, yeah, basically they're going to use tar sand oil. This is not conventional crude oil by any means. I remember reading a thing long ago, and I just found it again, the tar sands are one of the third largest deposit of oil that we know of in the world. But the tar sands also yield a heavy, thick, low-quality oil. So it's not even like a good oil that requires four times the amount of energy to kind of refine that into an extract into a usable form. So it's actually one of the most inefficient methods of energy out there, the tar sands oil specifically, just because it takes so much energy to separate the grains of sand from the actual oil. And also probably do some more refining stuff that I'm not actually sure on the details. But it takes four times much. That's, I don't know. I think that's kind of foolish that we're putting so much energy and money into a project that is four times worse than something that most people know that is pretty bad. I don't know. It seems weird. And if Canada wants to be a global leader for climate change, this isn't the sort of actions that a global leader of climate change does. This isn't an action that a leader would do in regards to climate change. But yeah, I think that's going to become really important in the following years, is kind of setting an example and whatnot. But anyways, we've got some more songs to play. I'm going to play a cool song by the wonderful, wonderful Hope Sandoval and the Warm of Intentions. She just released, their band just released a new album. Hope Sandoval is the voice of Mazzy Star. You may know her by her Fade Into You song that got a lot of and made a lot of noise. And I've played Mazzy Star and Hope Sandoval a few times in previous shows, but she just released a new album this November, and it's called Until the Hunter, and this song is called A Wonderful Seed, and hopefully it's a good, it is a good song, but hopefully, I was going to try to make a pun, but you know what, I'm just going to play the song. Sayonara, see you in a few.
Nobody could keep this lady their own. so sweet, her gleam, bright as the day. She never let me wander too far away. Thank you.
Kinder Morgan pipeline expansion, if approved, would create decades of intensive carbon emissions with the transportation of fossil fuels from Edmonton to Burnaby. The federal government and the National Energy Board are set to announce their decision on the expansion in December. An approval of the project would actively work against Trudeau's commitment to a 1.5 degree limit and global temperature rise, and would also put our local ecosystem at risk. If you would like to get involved in the fight against Kinder Morgan pipeline, check us out at ubcc350.org. That's ubcc350.org.
December 2nd and 3rd is Vancouver's fourth annual Big Joy Festival. Big Joy presents a broad spectrum of what Vancouver's weirdo music scene has to offer, casting a wide net across many genres and styles. The festival is 2 days of experimental sound, featuring artists Hick, Chris Cogburn, Today is an Orange Day, Sarah Gold, and Alexandra Spence at the Remington Gallery and Studio. Get your tickets at Red Cat Records, Audiopile, Selectors, or online at brownpapertickets.com.
All right, welcome back to everyone to Wise Men Radio on CITR 101.9. I played a bunch of songs back there. The last song I played was a band from Portland, Oregon, my home, called Genders. The song was Never Belong to You, and the album was off of their new album, just released this November, Phone Home. The last song and the song I played before that was a cool kind of a beat off of Burl Beats' new album, Video Game Music 2.0, Desert Fumo, cool deserty kind of really, really cool, neat. And then I played Dan Gurman, new album, 1906. The song too, and of course Hope Sandoval and the Warm Intentions, A Wonderful Seed off the new album Until the Hunter. Yeah, so I played a lot of cool songs for you. I hope you guys, everyone, had a nice time with me today. I sure did. Talked a lot about pipelines. This has kind of just become the pipeline show. Pipelines. But yeah, anyways, shout out to UBC C350, that little last promo. Get in contact with them if you want if you're on the UBC side of the world and you want to protest this pipeline. let's make it really hard for them, to say the least. But anyways, that's about all I have for the show today. I'm going to play one last song, and then Matt's going to come in here and play some sick tunes. So keep keep listening, because Friday mornings are always jam-packed full of good stuff. Anyways, I'm going to play a song by Sales. They're from Orlando, Florida. They just came to the Cobalt, actually, in Vancouver, and I went and saw them. They're a cool, cool band, cool kind of duo. The song is called Big Sis. Very neat. So, anyways, see you guys next week. Happy last day of class, everyone at UBC. Good luck on exams. I know I'm going to have a week of hell. Anyways, sayonara.